Morning, church.
Good morning,
all. Okay, so this is going to be different because I had an entirely different message written, and this morning I woke up at 2:30, wrote it again, and then woke up again at 5:30 and wrote it again. So, see what's going to happen. A couple things that I want to talk about. One, as a church body, we have a responsibility to those around us. We have a responsibility to those that are inside too. We live in a very rough time, a very bad time right now, that there's a lot of churches or people are they're fighting and they're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. We're not loving one another and whatnot. So I'm not saying that's happening here, but I know a lot of churches are. So I just want to go back and overview what it is we, as a church, we are to be doing for one another. I don't know how to use the thingy behind me, so forgive me for that. I'm just going to hit it old school today, so I'm just going to read from the book. I'm not one to sit in one spot. I will walk around. It may get a little rambunctious. It may get a little active. I have no idea yet. We'll see what happens. So, if I happen to get emotional in the second half, just bear with me because it's a very important topic, I think. But I'm going to hit two different things today, so... if you've got your books, and I sure hope you do, if you've got your scriptures, please turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. So 1 Peter is right after the book of Hebrews. So 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. I'm going to pick my book up and read because I can't stand still. So I'm going to read quite a bit, but there's just one or two verses I want to really focus in on, okay? So 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1 through 11, and I'll be reading from King James, so if you don't understand, please follow along anyways, maybe some different words, but that's okay. Chapter 4, 1 Peter says, "For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his life, in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God." Verse 3. "For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them, to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you." Verse 5. "Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit." Verse 7. "But the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." Wow, that's quite a bit. I want to focus in on verse 8. Verse 8 says, "And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins." So, I know some of your scriptures may say love. Mine says charity, kind of the same thing. Charity is love in action, something you're going to do. When I tell my wife, "I love you, honey, you're sweetie," that's a word I would use, but can I show that I love her? Yes, I can. So I would offer charity to my wife, saying, "I love you, honey. I'll do the, you're busy, you're tired, you've had a long day. You go to sleep, I'll do your work for you. I'll do your chores for you, I'll do your dishes for you, whatever. You know, whatever you need me to do, I'll do that for you." Why? Because I love you, and I want you to know I love you. So charity is love that I'm going to put forward. I'm going to do something physically, something active about it. Now, that being said, we're going to go, as I said, we're going to skip back and forth. We're going to walk through this book. So we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Everybody knows this one. So, are you ready? 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Again, King James, of course. Chapter 13 says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity," what does it say? "I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing." Charity, here's a list now that's, I don't know if it's going to touch you all, but this bothers me sometimes because I put myself in this list and figure, okay, where do I fit? And if I don't fit, what I got to do something about it. So it says, "Charity suffereth long," verse 4, "and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never fails. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things." Story about that, I'll tell you later. "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. Now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity." No, I'm not going to point any fingers, nothing. I promised my wife I wouldn't point fingers. I wouldn't call names. I wouldn't call anybody up on stage. I already asked her if I called her up. She wouldn't come up anyways, but she didn't want to be up here. So reading that list, everybody just think about the list we just read. Put yourself in there. Do you fit? Do you fit that list? In the times we're in right now, the whole COVID thing and the mask thing and the whatever else, yeah. Can't shake hands, can't hug, can't bump elbows or whatever, stuff going all over the place. In that, how are you putting forth charity? How are you loving your church body? Sometimes I find it kind of difficult. I like to see people's faces. I like to shake hands, you know. I like to see new people. And looking up here, there's a lot of new folks I don't know. And forgive me for not knowing all your names, but I don't, you know. But if you put yourself in that position of charity in the church here, I'm not talking out there, just in the church. You know, if somebody you know is hurting, somebody's having a hard time, you know, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to come alongside them and love them, right? You know, show them that you love for them, help them out, do whatever it is that you need to do so that they can see that you are a part of that church body. The scripture says, God tells us, we all make up a body. Now, I don't know about the rest of you, but I know the book says, when one part hurts, we all hurt, right? It says, the least little part of your body that we think to be the least, upon that part, we bestow much abundant honor. It's very important. I don't know if anybody is missing any toes. If you are, you'll find out that walking is difficult. I did not believe that verse that says every part matters, every little part matters. I came to realize that verse really, really right up in the forefront when I lost my finger. You have no idea how much that little half a thumb actually matters. You know, I don't wear shirts with the button-down collars because I can't do them up. You know, that little part does matter. So every person in the church matters. If you see somebody hurting, come alongside, love that person. You know, whatever it takes. Make a phone call. Phone calls are okay. Emails are okay. For me, I like person on person. I like to see that face to face. I don't like the phone calls. I don't like email because you can't see what they're thinking. You can't see what that person is doing. You can't see the facial expressions or whatever. To me, that's important. Okay, that's here in the church body. Now I'm going to take it a step further. Okay, we know that in the church we're to love one another. We're nice. We're kind. We're thankful. All that while we're here. Once we walk out the doors, is a different story, and that's the second part I want to talk about. I don't know about the rest of you, I'm not going to stand up here and give you my testimony because I'm pretty sure a lot of you would say, "Yeah, we don't want to hear that." Yeah. So, when you're outside, and it's something that I'm rather passionate about, is I like to meet people who don't know God. I like to meet people who say they're atheists. I've got a lot of good friends that say they're atheists. And just so you know, there's no such thing as an atheist. An atheist believes there's no God. That's what atheist means. In the English language, you put an A in front of something, it means the opposite. So if we're a theist, I believe there's a God. An atheist believes there's no God. But it's not true. Because they make up the rules for themselves. They are, in effect, the God of their own universe. So they're not an atheist. Right? No such thing. But anyways, I can go on for hours on that one, but different topic. So we're going to read just a couple other verses. Like I say, we're going to run through that book back and forth. Very well known, you guys are going to know this right off the hop, is Matthew chapter 28. So right at the last chapter, the last couple of verses of Matthew, we all know very, very well, or I think we should know very, very well. And there's a couple here, I'm just going to jump back and forth for a minute. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. This is our Savior talking. My Lord, my King, is giving me a commandment, something I have to do. He says, if you're my disciples, do what I tell you to do, right? Verse 18 says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Here's a command. Go ye therefore, and do something. Teach all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, and teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. Now, I'm going to get a little picky here. I'm not going to pick anybody's name. But when you hear that message, that command, lots of folks say, well, I'm not a preacher. I'm not a soul winner. I can't talk to people on the outside. That's somebody else's job. I'll bring them in the church. Nope. Our job is to reach those who are unreachable. Now, I'm going to get emotional about this for a second. It's to reach the unreachable. Our job is to reach those people who don't know your Savior. Our job is to reach the vilest of the vile, the evilest of the evil. If you knew anything about me, and you're welcome to ask any questions, I'll fire them off the answer to you. Anything you want to know about me, ask. I'm an open book. We're to reach those out there who don't know God. I'll give you a little instance in my life. I've not always been a Christian. I come from a pretty bad background. I didn't know God at all. I met my Savior when I was 19. And I met my Savior because somebody took that initiative and said, even though this guy is vile and he's evil and whatever, I'm going to love him and I'm going to introduce him to the Savior. Now, I don't know if you've had that experience. I pray you have. because you'd know exactly what I'm talking about. If someone doesn't know God, and doesn't know the Savior, there's consequences. At least that book says there is, you know. So why don't we introduce them to our Savior? You know, introduce them to God. Show them that there's salvation. Show them there's a heaven. Show them there's a hell. Show them that God's a loving God and he's willing to save you. Show what he did for you. I'm going to get emotional. I'm not going to go that far. So bear with me just for a second. I'm going to go back and reread what Dick read this morning, okay? Just because it's very important. So we're going to go to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 10. And just to push a little bit more about what I'm talking about, let's just reread it. Romans chapter 10, verse 5 and on a little bit. It says, "For Moses described the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall ascend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach." Here's a stickler. "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." That's a promise. "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all them that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now, we know that. Everybody knows that. Now, listen really carefully. Okay? This next few verses, if this hadn't have happened in my life, I would not be here right now. And I know if it hasn't happened in, I'm hoping, everybody's life. I know a few people that are in my little clique that this had to happen, because without it, nothing's going to work. It says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. For they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I'm going to combine two scriptures, okay? I'm not taking out of context, but verse 14 says, how can they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? We just read in Matthew 28 a commandment that Jesus gave us. What was the commandment he gave us? He said, go, tell the world, go and baptize them, go and teach all the nations what I've told you to do. That's a commandment. So I'll venture to say that every one of us is a preacher. That's the job. That's what we're supposed to do. And without it, I would not be here. Without it, can I point fingers? Yeah? Okay. Without it, I know you wouldn't be here. And you wouldn't be here. And you wouldn't be here. And you wouldn't, and you wouldn't, and you wouldn't, and you wouldn't. It's enough fingers, I guess. You know. But that's our job, you know. Our job is to go out and save, our job isn't to save, I guess, but it can be, I guess. But our job is to go out and get the information out. Our job is to go out and explain to the people there's a better way. Go out and explain why Christ had to die for us. You know, explain the message of the cross, explain the gospel, and then teach them why we believe those things. teach them how to believe those things. There's so much evidence, people, you know. Yeah. So I don't know how long I'm supposed to be up here, but it's 11:30. I'm going to give you a few more verses, okay? You ready? Let's do this. Do this thing. Yeah. Let's go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter, right after Hebrews. We'll go back to 1 Peter again. 1 Peter chapter 3. I'm not sure if I warned you, I'm a little different than other folks, but I am a little bit. So 1 Peter chapter 3, if I can find it, James, 1 Peter chapter 3, right there. So 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. And this is a verse that I hold very, very dear, very, very close to me. It says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is within you with meekness and fear. So if you don't know an answer, look it up. If you're not sure, if someone has asked you a question, has posed you a question that you don't know the answer to, and you don't know how to look it up, ask somebody. I'm not pointing just me, I just did that because. But ask somebody, because somebody has the answer. Okay? And it doesn't matter what it is, you know. Dr. Chan spoke on evolution last Sunday, and there's so many answers in evolution, you know. But there's so many answers on why we believe what we believe, why we believe that book is true, and we can trust everything in it. There's reasons why, you know. Now, I believe that book. I believe every word in that book. I even believe the little gold writing on it. Everything from right cover to cover, I know it's true. There was a time I didn't really know it was true, but I did search it out, you know, and I did look at it, and it's an ongoing process, you know. That little book has never changed. God gave us a promise. He'd never change it, and it's never changed. It's here. Here we have it. This is the Word of God. This is His promise, His love letter to us, the church, and how to give that love letter to other folks. That's what we're supposed to do. Here's one verse. So not to build a doctrine on one verse, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. So 2 Timothy is right in the middle of the New Testament. It goes Thessalonians, Timothy, and Titus. So 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 15. Okay. You ready? Here we go. Verse 15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We have work to do, and our work is to have an answer. Our work is to go out and talk to those folks who are on the street. You know, we live in a small little community, and I don't know, I had a conversation with somebody a little while ago, but I had asked one of my close friends, have you ever preached on street corner? He said, oh, I can't do that, man. That's just crazy. You know. I'm like, well, yeah, you can. You know, you just get on the street corner, open your mouth, start talking. It's that simple. You know. But when you look at, we look at here in Ponoka, we are a small little town. And we have in our church, I'm going to venture to say without counting, let's say 80 folks in here today. Okay? Maybe. So our church should be packed. Wouldn't that be awesome? It'd be awesome if it was packed. If we had to have moats in the foyer, in the gym, and outside, that would be fantastic. But there's only one way that can happen, and that's if we go out and do what God told us to do. So in the church, we have a job, and that's to make sure that we know that we stand with each other. I'm here to stand with you. You're here to stand with me. You've got different gifts than I have. I have different gifts than you have. But everybody complements one another. That's what we're here for. And those compliments, once we get outside of the church and we get on the street corners and on the roads, for some of you that are more adventurous, maybe you pick up hitchhikers, maybe, I don't know. You know, I love picking up hitchhikers because they get in the car, you close the door right on the gas, 120, they're not going to open the door and jump out. So they're there for a long time. They're there to listen, right? Yes, because nobody jumps out of the car at 120 kilometers an hour. You know. But... Yeah, giggle, I know, yeah. And I do it, you know, because they're not going to come out, you know. But more importantly, I'll give you a little story here before I quiet it down. I have a friend in Calgary. And I've only known him for a couple of years. He claims to be an atheist. He's not an atheist anymore. He's closer to God today than he was yesterday. He would never ask anybody for prayer. He wouldn't discuss the things of God or anything like that. His oldest daughter got very, very sick. Her liver shut down for no apparent reason. The first thing he did is he got onto Facebook and he asked, anybody who believes in God or believes in a deity or whatever, can you pray for my little daughter? And he contacted our little group and said, can you pray for my little daughter? Because she's dying. We said, of course you pray for your daughter. You betcha. And she's going to come through, and she's going to come through strong and healthy, and she's going to wake up, and she's going to walk out the door. You know, because he had her in a medically induced coma. So he posted, can you pray for her? So we all said, of course we'll pray for you. And I'm thinking, Tabitha, if you correct me if I'm wrong, I'm thinking it was 10 days, something like that. Somewhere around 10 days, she woke up. Friday, this last Friday just passed, she walked out of the hospital, you know. Now, for those of you who are parents, I don't know, I'll show you pictures if you want later on. For those of you who are parents, the worst thing you could possibly imagine is your little baby, your daughter, your son, whatever, in a hospital bed on the verge of death, you know, and you have no idea why, and they can't talk because they're in a coma or whatever, you know. Imagine that. Now what do you do? You don't know God. You don't know a Savior. You have nothing to put that on. You know? I couldn't handle it. But he's a totally different person now, you know. And I get to meet him again this weekend, so guess what we're going to talk about? Yeah, we're going to talk about how prayer works and how he asked for prayer. And we said, you know, God works, man. She's going to walk out of the hospital, not gurney her out or wheelchair. She's going to walk out. And she walked out. You know? So our topic, I know where that's going to go. That's going right to this little book right here because it's true. You know, I love that book. Yeah. So anyways, I don't know how long I'm supposed to talk. It's 11:45. Have you guys had enough? No? I'm going to go more? Ooh. Okay. Alrighty. Oh, maybe I'll give you one. I'll give you one more verse, maybe, then we'll cut it down. Ooh, that's a long one. Okay. Sure. Let's hit that one up. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2, and I'll end with this one here. So if you got your books, I'll go to Ephesians chapter 2. There's so many things we could talk about, but I promised my wife I wouldn't point any folks out. I wouldn't call anybody up. Wouldn't mention names. I won't stomp on toes too much. He told me not to dance up here, so okay. So keep it mellow. So Ephesians chapter 2. I'll just read a few verses, maybe down to, I don't know, verse 9 or something. So here is the Apostle Paul talking to a church in Ephesus. So he's talking to the church, not the unchurched, talking to the church. He says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Verse 3, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh and of the mind, and were by the nature the children of wrath, even as others. So here he's saying, we were all evil, we're all bad, we all were. But verse 4 starts off with one of my favorite words in the book, but. So something else going to happen. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together in Christ. By grace are ye saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I memorized that one. So I'm going to leave that there and say Ephesians chapter 2. Just think about that for a second. Here we are. We're sitting in church. We sing awesome songs. The songs, by the way, were right on point. Awesome. We sing lovely songs. We know there's a God. We know there's a heaven. We know all the riches of glory he has waiting for us. We know we're going to meet Jesus face to face. I'm going to talk to Adam, by the way, just because I want to find out what really happened. But we're going to talk to Moses and Elijah and all the old prophets and all the old saints, Peter and Paul, and we're going to meet all those people and have all this awesomeness that God has provided for us and has saved and put aside for us for that day when we get there. Now that's us here. Okay? I'm going to get off the stage. I'm going to walk out here, if you don't mind. Okay? So just think about that. All the riches and all the awesomeness God has for us. Absolutely. What about that guy on the street outside? Think about that. There's so many, and the youth. Think, right? Man, just more. I'm all behind you now. Whoops. Sorry about that. I'm not trying to get Billy Graham on you or nothing, but you know. But just think about that. We know what God has planned for us. We know what he has saved for us and put aside. What about the lady out there who's got a single kid, a single mom, and doesn't know God? Relatives overseas that have never met him. Friends and family that don't know him. And here we are. We're in a lovely church building. We're praising God for the glories and the awesome blessings he has for us. And there's so many people out there that don't know him. Whew. I'll get back up here now. Okay. I'm not sure about the rest of you, but I am so proud and so privileged to know my Savior. I'm so thankful that somebody had I'm going to call it audacity. It's probably not the right word for it. I don't know. But somebody had that courage to come up and say, you need to know God. You need to meet him. This is what he did for you. And to have that courage. No, my wife's not here. She had to drive my daughter to work. But she's the one that had that courage. And say, you need to do this. I found out after that she was praying for me. And when she prayed for me, I met my God. Isn't that awesome? That's awesome. And here I am today. So here we are. Okay. That's it. That's all I got for you folks. I think just something for you to think about, something for you to consider why we're here, what our jobs are. All right?